Mae Stevens, welcome to the Hit List on Cairn FM. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. So for anyone hearing of you for the first time, how would you describe Mae Stevens? What's your sound?
Absolute carnage. I would say a bit of funk, a bit of pop, a bit of carnage, a bit of chaos. Dopamine music, I guess.
Wow, yeah, and that is what we need, especially this time of year where it's still cold. We need that dopamine music.
Exactly.
So the song that we've definitely championed the most here at KMFM, I'm sure you can probably guess the name I'm about to say, but is If We Ever Broke Up. So correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this blew up back in 2023. And when you were working on this song, am I right in saying you were performing at pubs? You were working at an Asda?
Yep. Yeah, I was working in customer service, dealing with Karens and 35p apples. And then, yeah, it like basically my entire life just like 180'd. I feel like as opposed to loads of artists that have time to like prepare before they get into the industry, you know, they get told about press releases, they get taught that sort of things. I kind of had to just jump in head first with no dinghies, no swim rings, no nothing, and just sort of brave the industry.
Wow. Okay. So is that how it happened then? You posted, was it onto TikTok and then it just blew up?
It was literally a video. So we got the demo for If We Ever Broke back in November. I can't speak today. And then I created a video. I had like a black jumper on, black glasses, and I did the same video. And then I took it to my dad and my dad was like, not good enough. It's like, what do you mean? He went, it's just not colourful. You're not going to get picked up. So I went back, I did the same video again, except in that blue jumper and those pink glasses you see on the main video. And then overnight, I blinked and I remember waking up the next day and I had a hair bobble around my wrist and I kept snapping it because I was like, this can't be real. There can't be that many people seen my video, that much exposure that quickly. It's like the biggest turnaround I've ever seen.
So does your dad sort of say he's to thank for it, or is he a bit more low key? My dad would.
I mean, I'd say he's a bit low key, but because he's like, I call him the dadager. You know, he's not my manager because I do have one, but he's been in it for so long that him and my manager, like, they talk a lot. And my dad's behind the scenes, like curating social media plans. And my dad's incredible. He's been with me for the past 10 years and he's like carried my keyboard through London Underground, taking me to every open mic, every pub gig, bought me the kit I needed, you know, sent me off to do like music theatre at college. That is coincidentally my father.
Spooky. Speak of him.
That's him going, are you in the interview? He's an incredible individual. And I feel like with most kids, you know, you turn around and go, I want to be a musician. Quite a lot of parents would go, nope, you're not going to get anywhere. It's an impossible dream, which is what a lot of people said to me. But my dad just turned around and was like, yeah, let's do it. This is what you're good at. This is what you're passionate about. Let's go for it. And from then on, it was like full deep diving into it, getting all the kit. He did all the research between breaks at work, learned everything under the sun he could. I would say my dad is more knowledgeable than a good percentage of A&Rs now.
You've got the best dadager out there by the sounds of it. That's amazing.
My dad is an incredible man. Like, incredible. Jack of all trades. Well, if he doesn't know how to do it, he'll go and learn it. And he's done that with everything inside of my career. And so May is my middle name, my birth middle name, and Stevens is my dad's name. So May Stevens is a tribute to my dad because I wouldn't be the artist I am without him.
That's amazing. So when this song blew up, at what point did you then decide, I've had enough of serving the Karens at Asda, I'm going to move on? Was it straight away? Did you hang on a little bit?
It must have been like, so a couple of weeks after the song, I started doing label interviews, which was where I felt like, you know, the big leagues come in. And I had to hand my notice in probably, well, I think it must have been while I was doing label interviews. And then I did my week's notice when I was signed to EMI. So I just signed a record deal and I had to walk up to my manager at the time and be like, I'm so sorry. This is not exactly the like most out, you know, it's the most out of the ordinary way to quit, but I've just signed a record deal. So I kind of have to quit. But I did my week's notice. So like while I'm serving people and like doing people's discounts, If We Ever Broke Up, just like in the back of my head or somebody's singing it or it's somebody's humming it in the store because it's all across social media. It was the weirdest experience ever, especially like going in there now and all the old staff members. And, you know, they always ask me how it is. And the song plays in the shop.
I was about to say that you need to get them playing it in the store, but they already are. Brilliant.
Oh, gotcha. I'm grabbing my milk and it's in the background.
It's haunting you. but in a good way, in a good way. So fast forward to now, we're a few years on and you've just released your new single called Blue. So I noticed that there's a lyric in there about crossing a blue line, which isn't a phrase I've heard before. I'm assuming you've made this up. Is that correct? So what does this mean?
So I feel like we were trying to meet both with like crossing a red line. So crossing a red line, red associates of anger and all of those horrible emotions. With Blue, we were like, there isn't a song that shows the growth of disappointment, and you get to that final point where you're just like, you're not changing. I can't do this anymore. I need to move on. And so that's why we created Blue Line, because we were like, there isn't really a term for it. You know, you can say crossing a red line and you understand what that means. But when it came to especially the depths of sadness and a lot of things that I've heard with my friends recently, it was just like, how do we create something that becomes universally known as that line of disappointment, that line when you're just finished? And so releasing Blue around Valentine's Day was also completely intentional, because there's going to be a good handful of people who aren't celebrating Valentine's Day, or they're going through a breakup, you know. And so we just wanted to create something for them so that they're not walking around with like Cupid and, you know, sweet tarts and big heart balloons. You know, they can just, they can enjoy the beauty of this song and the story of it just outside of Valentine's Day, really.
No, it was really good timing.
Definitely.
When you are frustrated with someone, whatever that situation may be, but dating's just not going well, how would you sort of give someone advice to follow the blue line rather than the red line, which is sometimes the easier, or in the moment, in the heat of the moment, the approach you want to go for?
First, I feel like the first thing I'd ask is, how much have you changed for them and how much have they changed for you? Like, I've been in relationships in the past where I've pretty much morphed myself into the ideal candidate for that person. And then I've done everything from changing the aesthetic, changing my hair color, to adapting habits I have at home and long-term habits and stuff. And so, the first thing would be, how much have you changed for them? How much have they changed for you? And if you've gone to greater lengths to change for them and they're not, there's the first mark. I think around the blue line is also, if you're constantly disappointed, I mean, like, let's say my partner, for example, like, I've been asking him for 6 months to do the laundry a different way and he doesn't. And you get to that frustration and that point of just pure disappointment where you know that you're going to be able to ask them something and they're just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where it is, where you just get so fed up and you get to the point where you're like rolling your eyes at them behind their back.
Yeah. Not doing the laundry, blue line, you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
And my partner does do the laundry, so it's like,
tick. So you're about to head on your first headline tour, which is very exciting. How are you feeling about it?
I'm buzzing. I've been looking forward to this since it was announced, since we thought about it. I'm looking forward to it now. Every time somebody mentions my tour, I'm like a 5-year-old. I just immediately go into like the hands and like I just get really excited. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the fans and being able to play a lot of new music. I mean, I have got an announcement that is coming up on the tour. I can't give too much away.
Okay.
I'm sure you can kind of guess, but there's a few songs I'm playing that are obviously unreleased and they tie to said announcement. But it's going to be massive. The show, I'm just looking forward to people hearing the stuff that I've had prepared for a while and just creating a safe space for my fans to come in and just have a bit of a party, to be honest.
It sounds amazing. It sounds so good. So you're actually coming to Kent on the 29th of March, I believe. You're playing at the Forum in Tunbridge Wells. So the people of Kent are going to hear this announcement.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Oh, everyone on the tour will get the announcement. I'm actually terrified. I'm actually terrified.
Surely in a good way, though, right?
In a very good way. I feel like I've spent so much time on this body of work that I'm like, you always get that little anticipation of like, are people going to like it? Is it going to be too much? Is it not going to be enough? But I'm hoping with this announcement, it will just hype people up for what's coming next.
I love it. What a tease. What a tease, May. So I'm aware that this tour is backed by Music Venue Trust. So for anyone that doesn't know, this is a charity that helps keep small grassroots venues alive. And it's been supported by the likes of Coldplay, Sam Fender, Katy Perry. So what does this backing mean to you?
It means everything. I described it a few weeks ago as imagine you're going to a big stadium gig. And you are no more than row E, seat 35. With grassroots venues, you have such a more intimate, close performance. And I feel like you have so much opportunity to connect with your audience, to connect with your fans. And that's what MVT is pushing for me, is these venues that are safe spaces for artists like myself and smaller artists to go in, to perform in an open space that is comfortable for them. And also supported by an incredible cause, backed up by incredible artists. The Music Venue Trust is just incredible, do incredible work. And I'm just so thankful to be able to work with them to create this tour. It's just such a special thing. And I truly hope that loads and loads more artists in the future see this and apply the same thing, because it's just an incredible cause. And it's boosting venues that may not get as much foot traffic anymore, because my generation, a lot of us aren't going to gigs anymore. I feel like we're losing
They're so
the beauty of
expensive
life.
now as well, aren't they?
I know, well, my tickets are cheap, so definitely go and buy a ticket. But yeah, we're losing the beauty of going to see a gig, and especially smaller artists. I mean, like, yeah, Sabrina Carpenter, Tate, you can go and see those, but to go and support a smaller artist who's standing up on stage and giving their all, it's just such a special thing. And I feel like you have to go and support those artists. You have to go and support the cause. So buy tickets to the Mae Stevens tour.
I love it. Where you've come from, working in customer service, I've been there as well. I've done my retail years to then this. What advice would you give yourself back when you were working at Asda to see where you are now? What advice would you give that younger Mae? I've gone with a
Oh,
big question. I've gone
that's
with
a
a big one.
hard one. God. What advice would I give? Okay.
Or something you could tell yourself now, looking back. Do you ever look back?
A lot every day. I don't think there's a day that's gone by that I don't look at the past, and I'd obviously evaluate how far I've come. I think it would be have faith and have trust in yourself, because before I got into the industry, I was so unsure about who I was as an artist, as a person, all of that jazz, that when I got to the industry, I lost a lot of faith in myself. And because I was watching other artists who are in the same boat as me work twice as hard and put in twice as much, I think the advice would literally just also be know your worth and know that you're good at what you do. And that, yes, you may see someone who's trained at like the Brit School and has got all of this musical knowledge, but I learn it from ear, and I did it in an organic way, in a way that's healthy for me. So I just have to remember my worth in that situation. But I think also stop wearing so much pink, because half of the customers at Asda thought I was 15. So like trying to
Yeah,
pick, so I was
nice.
shopping away from them and getting security. So what's this 15-year-old doing? So also wear less pink. She says with pink hair.
But not when on KMFM. Wear more pink.
No, all the pink. Oh, I've got pink hair, so.
You've released your recent single, but have you got anything else coming out in the lines that we should know about? Anything to look forward to?
I have a track called Delusional, which is coming out. It's so different from Blue and Done With You. I feel like it follows more onto the If We Ever Broke Up side of things. The song is basically about a girl who becomes so infatuated by a guy, and she tries everything, and she just goes, "Do you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be delusional. I'm going to give it my all." And that's what the song's about. And it's got so many fun, poppy elements to it. I created it with the wonderful Oski, who is also an artist as well. He's an incredible producer. And we made this track so sleep deprived, like maybe an hour's worth of sleep. We did like a 5 till 5 a.m. session the day before,
Wow,
and then
okay.
wrote Delusional. And we both just looked at each other after the session and went, "Yeah, this is a bop." And then that was it. It was like, right, shoot to release. Let's put this out. And yeah, it's coming out just before the tour, and I cannot wait to play it live. I may or may not have a guest coming onto my tour in the last 2 days. So if you're at the Bedford or the London show,
Oh,
definitely come along.
not the Kent.
I know, I'm sorry. I should have brought it on for another day. But yeah, it's an incredible track with an incredible producer, and I'm just so excited for people to hear it, because it's just so fun, you know? It's got a vibe to it, and I hope that everyone likes it.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that you've managed to produce something on barely any sleep because I could never, and I would definitely have to sleep on it again until I released it.
Being ADHD, you practically run on caffeine and nightmare. So, like, you know.
Well, thank you so much, mate. It's been a pleasure and best of luck with your new tour and your gig at Tunbridge Wells.
Thank you. Hopefully, I'll see everyone on the tour. If you haven't bought tickets, please buy tickets. Come see me live.
Thank you,
Awesome.
Mae.
Thank you.
Bye.